I'm Lieutenant Joe Pangaro. I've been a cop for 27 years. I like to say I got a backstage pass to life. Well, guess what? I got some tickets for you. So come on in, pull up a chair, turn up that volume, and let's go. Chasing Justice is on.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to Chasing Justice. I'm your host, Lieutenant Joe Pangaro, and today we have three full segments with the guys in the neighborhood. That's right, because there's so much going on that it's more than even me can talk about. Now, can you believe that? I can go on and on and on, as you all know, but I have to have the fellas in here today because there's so much going on in our country and our world, and there's so many things to talk about that I wanted to make sure everybody came in. We're going to talk about the impeachment. We're going to talk about some things that are going on behind the scenes in the world. We're going to talk about some funny stuff. But first, let me introduce my guest, Jim, the Contrarian Giordano. Jim, how are you?
Great to be here, Jeff.
It's always good to have you here. Bill, the man of faith, Dallas. How are you, Bill?
I am fine. Upright and sniffing the air.
Okay. That's excellent. I like that. No. I didn't know where that was going initially, but okay. And we got Jack, rock and roll race car Patterson. Jack, how are you?
Joe, it's great to be back again.
Yeah, it's great. And Jack, your voice is really excellent. So I got some voiceover work for you later on. I just wanted to remember to tell you that. So listen, so everybody knows today, this is a kind of a relaxed session here for Chasing Justice because we like the afternoons. We like to come on in the afternoon. But you know what? Sometimes we're all working so hard that we take a little bit of time. And sometimes we have a little bit of an adult beverage. And here we are having a little early cocktail on Chasing Justice. So if you'd like to run and get yourself a cocktail, do that as long as you can keep us within earshot today. So, gentlemen, we have seen now the Democrat case against President Trump in our impeachment. Now, this is historic. This is only the third time in our country's history that we've had an impeachment process. And I have to say, let's first look at the House. And we saw how the House situation was one-sided. There were only Democrat witnesses, and no Republicans were allowed to participate, really. At the end, when they got called out on it, they did some things publicly, but they couldn't call their own witnesses. They couldn't question the Democrat witnesses. Matter of fact, Mr. Schiff cut off answers by some of the witnesses that he didn't want them to say out loud. We heard about the whistleblower bombshell. We saw Mr. Schiff come up with the fake phone transcript because he didn't expect Trump to come out with the real one. And we saw all this nonsense. And based on that, they impeached the president. Or basically, that's an indictment. In a court case, that would be the indictment. So they use that to get this indictment, and now they come and they're having their trial in the Senate. And we're going to talk about that first. So you guys chomping at the bit, when you saw the initial inquiry, what were your feelings about it? Jim, what did you think as fairness, or was it right or wrong? Where'd you see it go?
No, I thought that it was Trump did say in his message to the Ukrainian president, I want you to look into Burisma, and I want you to look at the corruption that potentially could have taken place. There was a lot of evidence. Pam Bondi in the Senate trial outlined all that evidence. It is amazing the corruption that was there. He has a right as a president to investigate that corruption because that affects the American people.
Absolutely. And President Trump, knowing full well that the Ukrainian president's entire campaign was based upon the fact that he wanted to eliminate corruption in his country. Now, the corruption that took place with the Bidens, supposedly, was corruption within the Ukraine. And Trump wanted to assist this president in eliminating that corruption from his nation.
Right. So what I think, what I saw in all of that, really, when you heard their arguments in the trial, is that they did make up facts. They made up a case line. They made up what I have called, in some articles I've written that are on AmericaOutloud.com, is the big lie. Schiff made up things out of whole cloth and then treated as though it actually happened. And that's what he pounded over and over and over again to the American people. Every chance, every Democrat witness that came out in the trial in the Senate basically repeated those things as though they were fact. When we looked, there was only one fact witness in the whole case, and that was the ambassador who said, Trump said to me, I don't want anything. I don't want a quid pro quo. I just want them to do the right thing. That's the only actual evidence. Everything else was made up out of whole cloth, and Schiff and the Democrats are running around as though the lie is really what happened. Jack?
Yeah, it's just something on a lighter note. It's nice to know that when Mr. Schiff retires, he could always get a job at Disney World, because he seems to be very, very good at making things up and acting out.
That's excellent. Matter of fact, I heard the other day he's talking about running for Dianne Feinstein's seat, because the Democrats love this guy. One of the problems, and Bill, I'll ask you this, because this is actually, I don't know if it's a moral or an ethical type of a thing. The article I had written a couple weeks ago, which is still up there, was about hypocrisy and how hypocrisy really doesn't matter anymore. When we see a guy go up there and blatantly lie, and everybody knows he's lying, even the Democrats know he's lying and making this up. They're not stupid people. But the bottom line is, he's pushing the case that they want pushed, so therefore, we applaud for his lies and we say, aren't they excellent lies? Those lies are so convincing. Matter of fact, now prove you're innocent, Mr. Trump. Where are we going as a nation with that?
Where did the prove your innocence, even though we think you're guilty and know that you can't prove your innocence, how did that come about? I mean, it used to be you're innocent until proven guilty. Now that's between the Democrats, the entire left side of our country, and the media, and certain other politicians on the right, they're going whole hog for this stuff, and we can't understand. I can't understand why everybody is accepting it and just, you know, sitting back and saying, okay, well, we know we're right, so you guys go ahead and make fools of yourselves. And
I'll tell you what,
and in the end, it'll come out that we're the good guys and you guys are a bunch of idiots.
No, it won't. Because the mainstream media is in.
Because the truth
Democratic
will play
and the liars,
out.
Their pocket. And what happened is there's a portion of the population who's so busy in this country living their lives, and all they see is snippets. They see headlines. And they believe the mainstream media. And unfortunately, the Democrats know that they have the mainstream media in their back pocket. And even Republicans know this, and so they cower through this.
I'm not disagreeing with you. But think about this. Years ago, the mainstream media was the place to go.
Exactly.
That was... You know, you believe that stuff. But nowadays, even the people that are not even up to date on what's going on has got to know how baffling it is that the media can get away with saying all these things that the most uninformed American is not going to stand by and let this happen all the time. There's just this insanity that's going on in the media. How do they get away with this stuff without anybody calling them up on it?
Right. Even the Republicans. Where are they standing up every day like the Democrats do? Hold a press conference on the stairs of the Capitol and go, lie. What you just heard today was, instead, they do nothing.
No, they did come out. They came out and set a hearing. And I will tell you something.
Oh, in the hearing.
John Roberts, that's the Supreme Court Justice,
yes.
Right? He was so disappointing. Do you know something? The whistleblower needs to be brought out. And I'll tell you, I heard, it's on the internet, so I'm not sure if it's true, but I heard that the whistleblower is dating Schiff's daughter.
Now, I saw that picture on social media, and I saw his face. Now, there's a picture of him with Hillary, this Chiamella guy. There's a picture of him with Hillary. There's a picture of him with Schumer. There's a picture of him with Schiff. There's a picture in Schiff's house with his daughter and this guy standing on the end of the line saying that's his daughter's boyfriend. I can't imagine that if that was real, that you wouldn't have heard it somewhere. It's the guy's boyfriend and he's a hidden guy. Not one person have I heard say that, but I saw those same pictures. And I'm saying, I wouldn't put it past them for 2 seconds. Because we know the guy that was his friend that was hired, that was also the guy that he heard the information from, that Chiamella heard the information from, was hired by Schiff's team. And that guy was connected. So we know that there's dirty politics going on. But the point being, Bill, that why people aren't bringing this up, And by listening to other people, because Jim, I'm going to say you're right also. People aren't really hearing it. They didn't hear any of this build up. They don't pay it. They don't listen to talk radio like we do all day. They don't read the paper like we do. But they hear the news. And when you have the big event, like the impeachment trial, now they listen and they turn it on during the day. Maybe they'll see some things. And I've listened to people come on and say, well, you know, that Schiff, man, he made a pretty good case. Why won't the president come forward now? And I'm going to ask a question. Haven't we all at some point said, if you have nothing to hide, go forward? Now, Jim, I'm going to exclude you from this, but if you get stopped by a cop and he says, Jack, is there drugs in your car? Can I look? You'd say, there's no drugs. Go ahead, officer, look. I have nothing to hide. Jim, on the other hand, would get tasered and dragged away because it wouldn't matter whether he had drugs or not. You're not looking in that car without a fight because he's going to protect his rights.
He's a contrarian.
But I think what the average person thinks, and I'm guessing here because I'm an average person too, but I just think I'm more informed, is I think the average person sees that and goes, well, wait a minute. If there's nothing to hide, why not let that guy come and talk? They don't understand executive privilege. Because Trump is protecting it not just for himself. It happens to work out for him that he's calling executive privilege on Bolton. But at the same time, if you give that up so easily, the next president loses executive privilege. And a president has got to be able to talk to his closest advisors and get their opinions and say, listen, here's what I'm thinking. Am I right or wrong? Now, Jimmy, I'm the president, and I'm telling you guys what I think we should do with the Chinese. And next thing you know, Jimmy doesn't like me and writes a book and says, President Joe wants to sink those bases in the Pacific Rim. He wants to melt those islands. Oh, my God. Next thing you know, President Joe is a warmonger, and they want to indict me over it. It was a thought. I had a thought. I was talking through something. But the average people, I think they see that and go, well, why don't we just hear from this guy? And they say, because he's going to tell you Trump did all of this, we couldn't prove it, but this guy will tell you he did it. And that's why the average people, I think, are looking at this, and some of them are convinced maybe all of this happened. And I throw that right at you, Jack, because earlier we were talking in pre-briefing here about the election chances. I am the opinion, I think Trump will win big in 2020, but you had a little bit of a different opinion.
You know, I have to disagree. I don't believe that he's going to win. In defense of what Bill said earlier, you know, the truth is out there. We see it. We're experiencing it. We're living it. I got a tax cut. And a lot of people will look at it on the other side, on the mass media side, and say, oh, he took away my tax return. No, he did not. He put more money in your pocket per week. He got us a trade agreement with China. Now this has never occurred. We're finally not going to be giving our country away and giving our gross national product away to a foreign nation anymore. They have to deal with us in a more equal manner because of President Trump. We're talking to North Korea. That's something that we haven't done since the Korean War. We've got back the remains of some of our soldiers from that war. A lot of these things are there to be seen in the public eye, but they're not being pressed upon as the little things that are said and done that are not true and have no basis in truth, but the mass media brings this to the people and the people believe it because this is what they see and what they hear.
So you think he's going to lose? You think Trump's going to lose?
I don't think that Trump stands a chance in this next election because so many of the sheeple, I'm sorry, the uninformed people are brainwashed, literally and figuratively brainwashed.
By who?
By the liberal media. The liberal media, as you've pointed out many, many times. Is it a conspiracy? Jimmy, absolutely it's a conspiracy. It's a conspiracy of all these people together with the Democratic Party, with the socialists that are coming up in this nation.
And the weak Republicans, the never Trumpers.
Yes.
They're planning this. They're degrading what you hear. They're taking away the facts of what you hear. The facts are there, as Bill said before. They're there to be seen. They're there to be felt. And they're there to be heard. These good things are happening. The stock market is through the roof. It's record-setting. These are the facts.
So, Jack, you think, though, the average person next time around, in 8 months from now, 9 months from now, is going to walk into the booth and vote for someone other than Trump? You think he's going to lose?
If I say Lieutenant Joe is a bad guy, every day, 400 times a day, the majority of the people are going to believe
that Lieutenant Joe's a bad guy because I wouldn't be wasting my time saying it all those times if he wasn't. And that's the problem with the people, the uninformed.
So do you have anecdotal evidence? Are you hearing this in your life from people you work with,
absolutely,
friends, cousins?
Absolutely. I'm hearing this from a co-worker of mine. His mother believes that Donald Trump, as a human being and as our president, is the Antichrist. He's done all these horrible things. He's not a decent human being.
He's a racist.
I hear that all the time.
While her son is benefiting from a massive increase in care and monetary support from the VA, she still says what a terrible human being he is and what an awful president he has been, even though we've received tax cuts. And we haven't even seen the beginning of where we're going with the trade agreement with China, how much better things are going to be. And the effects on the gross national product of the United States of America is going to go up. The effect is going to be a positive one, but people are not going to be able to see it or realize it until after the election, but it will be hidden by the liberal media.
So here we go. We have you mark your words. Jack is saying he doesn't think Trump gets reelected. Billy, you seem to be chomping at the bit there.
Well, I keep thinking about why is it that we cannot find out what the actual truth is? Whether Trump is a liar, whether he's the most honest person in the world, why can't we find out the truth? I'll tell you why. Because we're constantly fed lies. Just like you said, Jack, constant. Every day we hear the same thing. Trump is this, Trump is that. Never once, no matter how many good things that Trump does, is there anything in the liberal media about one little iota of anything. Look at Melania. Here's the most gorgeous one of the most gorgeous women we've ever had in politics, and she can't even get on the cover of a magazine when they put, I'm not even going to say,
every first lady goes in all those magazines.
Absolutely.
And not only is she beautiful, but she's brilliant.
She speaks a number of different languages.
She's gorgeous inside and out.
Absolutely.
Exactly.
And she can't get any ink at all because they won't give him anything.
Squat. They won't give them anything.
So basically, we're all agreeing it's the media. The media has all this power because that's what the people who aren't paying attention.
But my question is, why can't we take the people that are spurting out all these lies and all these insinuations, put them on trial and say, is this the truth? Under oath. Wait a minute. Wait.
You're right.
Why can't we just take Schiff and take Hillary and take Pelosi and Schumer and all these people and say, okay, this is what you've been saying. Is it the truth?
Mm-hmm.
Under oath.
Now, what would be your power to bring? See, that's the thing.
I know.
We don't form of government. We don't just drag
the opportunity. But why, at some point, through all of this garbage, why can't we do that?
Now, we could. We could have Lindsey Graham could certainly call a commission and say, hey, we just went through this whole thing. We believe there were lies told. We believe people covered things up. We're going to do on-air congressional hearings Monday through Friday, whether they're going to publicize them or not. And we're going to call Mr. Schiff up, swear him under oath, and say, you said for 10 months you had absolute proof that President Trump colluded with Russia, and it never came out. What proof do you have? And we're demanding it right now. Here's your subpoena.
The problem is they could do that, but it's never going to hit the public. The public is never going to know. They'll only disclose, the liberal media will only disclose what they want you to hear.
If it's going to be on, if it's going to be under something like that, it'll be on TV, on even if it's only on Fox.
Well, boys, that was quite a first segment. So the fireworks are just starting here. We didn't even wind Jim up yet. We'll be back in a minute with Chasing Justice here on America Out Loud.
It's your news and entertainment network. News blogs, informative podcasts, entertaining videos, or listen to 24/7 talk radio on our free apps on Apple, Android, or Alexa. We the People, AmericaOutloud.com is the voice of liberty and justice for all. Welcome to the new era in communications, America Out Loud Talk Radio.
Welcome back to Chasing Justice here in the America Out Loud Radio Network. Now, I told you, everybody, I got the boys in the neighborhood here. And, you know, we're having a couple of cocktails this afternoon. We're enjoying ourselves. We're relaxing. And everybody takes turns running up, you know, to the bathroom. Who has to come back down, let the dog out? We got the rescue dogs here, so we're letting dogs in and out. Well, it's funny. Jack went upstairs to get a cocktail or something. And I saw him talking to someone up there that we know. Now, we all know Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, right? She's known as AOC. And that was a name given to her by the great Mark Levin, one of the great talk show hosts, radio people in the world. He calls her AOC. Well, I noticed that Jack Rock and Roll Patterson was up there talking to J-Oc. And Jack will not be in the same room with J-Oc. So therefore, I think J-Oc is going to join us down here. We want to welcome J-Oc to the microphone.
Joe, I'm here, and I can't waste time with this. We need to discuss your horrible program, the terrible people, and your Republican lies. This is horrible, absolutely horrible, and I don't like being here. As you know, everybody, I've been on the show now. This is my second time, and I'm really fed up. I've been listening to this program, and it's just horrible.
Now, J-Oc, hang on one second.
Listen to me. Let's start with your lies. How about Jim? Well, wait a minute. What do we call Jim? Oh, yes, Jim the octogenarian. Well, we know he's not 100 years old. He's not even close. We've looked into this.
No, we call him...
No, that's not... Well, let's talk about your friend Bill.
What about
let's
me?
Talk about Bill.
Bill's a man of faith. Bill is a man who brings morality.
Bill Faith, the man from Dallas? We've looked into this. He's not from Dallas. He's never lived in Dallas before in his life.
That's just another
right-wing lie. And let's talk about the most horrible one of all. Let's talk about Jack. Jack, the racist car driver... That's horrible! Absolutely horrible, and I won't have anything more to do with it. Listen, my Hummer limo is warming up out front. I have plane tickets to the Caribbean, and I'm not going to be late for that to spend any more time on this program. Goodbye!
Well, ladies and gentlemen, there goes J-Oc. it's really unfortunate that we couldn't have a conversation.
Joe, she gone?
Tell him he's going back down.
All right.
I don't know why.
Hey guys.
I don't know who she is. That this J-Oc.
I can't stand her.
Well, she came in. She put down my boys. She put down all of you, even you. She called you horrible names.
Oh, she hates me.
How did this all come about? I mean, what messed up this relationship?
Let's just say I've had dealings with her before.
She's a groupie, is what he's trying to say. You never know what's going to happen here around the campfire at Chasing Justice. So, well, you know. If she comes back and she wants to come on and have a reasonable conversation, we'll talk with her.
I won't.
Well, I know you won't be in the same room with her. You're kind of like Superman and Clark Kent. When she's around, you're never here. But in all seriousness, I think what J-Oc points out is that no matter how I tried to interject and ask questions, she had her opinion and only wanted to push her opinion forward. There was no talking with her.
No, she kept on pushing her hand in your face.
Which was ridiculous. I mean, she wants to call you names, but she said you've never been to Dallas. I tried to explain. You got that wrong. His name is Dallas. But in her mind, the fact was he said he went to Dallas. He said you're an octogenarian. Now, you look like an older gentleman, but I wouldn't say you look like you're in your 80s. Not a day over 70.
Not a day over 55.
Yeah. What kind of horrible crap she say about me, Joe?
She called you a racist, Rock and Roll.
Oh, for God's sakes!
Because
that's
you know,
the leftist. The leftists are going to get their opinion across, and only their opinion.
We all know that you are a racist, Jack. Come on.
Actually, Jack is not. He's the most nicest, wonderful person I've ever met. But I think J-Oc points out to all of us how sometimes one of the biggest things that I talk about when I teach and I speak to groups of people is about communication, because everything in human connection is about communication. And the truism that's out there is that we don't listen to understand each other. We listen to respond to each other.
Sound bites.
Exactly. So when I start to talk about, here's what I think about this impeachment, and you jump in on top of me, you've listened to me say impeachment, and now you want to respond. You don't want to listen to what I just said and then address what I said factually. And that's where we all come to this problem that we can't speak to each other.
That's because as soon as you start talking, we're already in our own mind. We're not paying attention to what you're saying, but we're formulating our response.
Right.
Right
and
away.
Bill, that's exactly, and that's the purpose of that saying. We don't listen to understand, we listen to respond. Because we are so set up to attack each other instead of listening to what they say. Now, how many times have I said it, and I know people roll their eyes when I say, there are a lot of people on the left that we love. We all have family and friends that are on the left that are liberal and this and that. And I think they have some good ideas. I've just always said, I think they go about it the wrong way. You know, it's nice. Everyone should have equal rights. We all believe that. But how do we get there? By taking other people's rights away so that more people get rights on this side and less on that side? Or is there a better way to do it?
But the left have so inflamed these arguments back and forth, these responses, as we call them. Mm-hmm. We no longer can discuss. We no longer can just talk about it. It's going to be a fight. It's going to be an argument. I have a lot of liberal people in my family. At Thanksgiving, I open my mouth only to eat.
Right. Because you know what it is? What I've seen, the pattern for the people that I know that are on the left, and I'm not saying everyone, but the pattern that I see is that when they run out of facts or they can't argue the point with you, they attack you personally. Mm-hmm. That's why she called you a racist before she ran out the door, because she couldn't argue your point. You know, I'm told you only see things a certain way. Well, no, I see things lots of ways. I just want to know the facts. Tell me the facts, and if you're right, I'll go with it. I said this a couple of weeks ago. I was talking with somebody, and they said, you hate Obama just because he's a Democrat. And I said, no, I don't hate Obama at all. You know why? I don't know Obama to hate him. What I dislike is his policies. I think his policies are not good for our country, and I disagree with his policies.
Didn't you not trust him? I mean, the whole, he was connected with that preacher in Chicago who was very anti-American, very socialistic. I didn't trust him for that reason. So, and you know, that never was professed in the news media. You would hear it on some of the right-wing channels, but it just bothered me.
Right. We never got a real vetting of the guy.
Exactly.
We never saw his birth certificate.
That's a big thing. He promised during his campaign that he would have the most open cabinet in the history of America, and he had one of the most closed. I don't hate the man. I still respect him as a president. That's something that's lacking in this country. You have to respect him as president. What the part that I didn't like is the parts that affect me personally, affect my family personally, which is the fact that I can no longer afford a lot of the medical care that I believe I need.
Right.
When he was elected, I remember saying to myself, okay, at least the racial issue is over. That to me, that was very important because we're all Americans. And you want to know something? It wasn't. It got worse.
It was the beginning.
It was professed by one of our rock stars, Kid Rock, that he was so glad that America could go ahead and elect who they believed to be the correct person for the job, regardless of color. He's very proud of that. Very proud of all Americans for that. He was just upset of the fact that he didn't do a very good job.
Right. And that, Jim, I'm going to echo exactly what you said. I was very disappointed that the Democrats won the presidency, not because it was nebulous reasons, because I know they believe in attacking our military. They believe in higher taxes. They believe in more government control over our lives. They believe in taking away our Second Amendment rights. That's why I was upset. But there was a part of me that said, hey, look how awesome it is, though, in America for the years of consternation and pain that some of our brothers and sisters felt in this country, that they didn't have a voice, and an African-American man gets elected president. Exactly. I had to have some pride in that. Even though I was against the guy's policy, I had some pride that we did that. But then they deified him, and he could do no wrong, nor could you challenge him, because then you were a racist if you challenged him. No. He was my president. I didn't agree with what he did. I could care less what his race was.
Let me just say something about Barack Obama. I was against him from the very beginning, only because I'm a Republican, and he was not. That's the only reason. And then I saw a commercial, an ad, where he's loading groceries into the trunk of somebody. He was a bagger at a food market. And I'm saying, this guy is running for whatever it was. He was a representative of something.
Senator first.
Was it senator?
He was a senator, yeah.
Okay.
Community organizer.
All right. But he was doing these things. That was his job. Now, how do you go from that to being a senator? I thought, good for him. There's somebody who...
So you got sucked in, Bill.
Wait a minute, Bill. Here you go.
You have a tendency to get sucked into the liberal...
Hey, look, I'm not from Dallas, okay?
That's all made up.
All right, listen. Now, to me, I thought, here is a man of color that went from doing this to becoming the president of the United States. What an amazing country we live in.
Absolutely.
You know? And then as time went on, I started getting my eyes opened again by the media. And then I had to pick and choose what I knew was real and what I actually experienced and what I knew was a lie.
Sure.
And just came full circle.
And the policies damaged our economy, exactly. Damaged our healthcare. Remember that? And we've said, how many times have we said, $2,500 the average family is going to save and you're going to have better healthcare. Jack, is your healthcare better?
No, it's costing me $6,000 more last year than it's ever cost me before in my life.
It's terrible. Horrible. The hell, and people in America don't realize how bad healthcare has gotten.
Wait a minute, let me finish
my
sentence.
Government has gotten involved in it.
Let me finish what I was saying.
Go ahead, Bill.
This whole thing with Barack Obama, he wasted an opportunity to show our country on the national stage, we can elect an African-American president and he can lead this country in the right direction. And who's gonna say that's a bad thing?
No, it was a great thing. But yeah. He didn't.
Do you think I really cared? Ultimately, he didn't care. It was all about power of globalism. And unfortunately, he wasted an opportunity to put this whole thing aside.
That's Jim, what you're right. Saying. There is a hierarchy on the left of their beliefs. We all saw that as, okay, we didn't vote for a Democrat, but we were all happy that an African-American, a black guy in America, got made president. That said something about our country. That was a wonderful thing. But then his thought was not, hey, how can I help my country and bring everyone together and heal some of these things that have gone? So look, I'm here now. America has changed. America has realized we can do this. What a transformational guy he could have been. Instead, he went with his liberal beliefs that say, we got to tax the hell out of him. We've got to get their guns away from them. We have to globalize. We have to join the world has got to be in charge of things instead of doing what we would have hoped he would have
done. Now, he wanted to divide us. Once again, he got in and he started pointing out the differences. Yes, we had issues with racial relations in this country. But what he wanted to do, instead of saying this is a coming together moment.
That's what I'm saying.
It became a divisive moment. I'm like, right. It was the exact opposite.
And he attacked my brother and sisters in law enforcement. Instead of saying, let's look at the facts, and I'm going to tell everybody right now, go to the FBI statistics on crime statistics. Go there and look at the facts. Instead of looking at the facts and going, listen, we know that there's a lot of these horrible situations where police officers shoot people. But you know what? They shoot all kinds of people because people don't always respond the way they're supposed to. They attack the police. They come at them with weapons. There's all kinds of reasons that our officers do what they do. And there is nothing in the officer's job that says, you'll take a bullet before you'll respond. You get to protect yourselves because we put them there. And then when he turned around and attacked law enforcement, I got to tell you, I had a really hard time with that, saying, let's just talk about what goes on out in the street. You know, let's talk about when there are bad cases. I'm the first one to say that was a bad shoot. Unfortunately, you got to pay the penalty for it. But most of them, the huge overwhelming majority, are not bad shoots. People do things that cause this to happen. He could have been transformational there. That's where I was so upset about President Obama. He had such an opportunity to help us, and he squandered it away with his following his left-wing beliefs instead of being the president for all of us. Which leads me into something else now. We got a couple of minutes left in this segment. We talk about bringing people together. I watched a woman at a Joe Biden event as the you know, the getting ready to doing all the primaries are coming up now. And this woman's going, we have to elect Joe Biden because he's going to bring our country together. Jack, how do the left-wing socialist bordering on communists that hate us want to bring us together by electing Joe Biden, who's already said we're horrible deplorables, just like everybody else over there says? How do we get brought together?
Not how. Why? Why do they want to do that?
Well, isn't that the right thing to do? Bring the country together. I would bring the country together, but Jack,
they're going to bring the country together, but under a socialist banner.
There you go.
So they're not going to reach out to me and go, Joe, let's figure out how we can have lower taxes and get some of these things done. They're not going to do
no,
that.
No, what they're going to do is
re-educate you.
They're going to yes, thank you, Bill. They're going to re-educate us by letting us know that we can have free health care in this country for everyone. What they're not going to tell you is the grasp of power that it gives them. The tremendous amount of power they will have over the American individual when they control your health care. When they control your paycheck, when socialism does come down the line, it seems like a good thing at first until the money runs out.
Right. And I heard a great saying, and I really love this, and I think it encapsulates it beautifully. Somebody said to all the young people, there's so many young people, Bernie is surging in the polls again. Now, if they didn't use trickery and chicanery in the last primaries in 2016, he would have been the nominee. But Hillary and the team, it was all faked up, and they gave it to Hillary because it was her chance. Bernie would have been the guy. Looks like he's surging again. And I saw this great thing. It said, hey, young people, just keep in mind, you can vote your way into socialism, but you got to shoot your way out.
well said. You don't know how true
well said.
Absolutely.
That is.
Right.
And that's the biggest fear I have.
Right.
Because once it happens, you're stuck.
Well, look at Virginia.
Who said that?
It was on social media. It was just one of them posts that somebody put up. But you look at Virginia, the state of Virginia. You elect a whole bunch of left-wing people, and the very first thing they do is they're going to confiscate everybody's guns. Hmm. Like, they get in the office, we got the power, we're going to take your guns. It almost led to the igniting of the Civil War a few weeks ago because of this.
It almost ignited a Civil War over a gun rally. And now the Democrats are stuttering and searching for words to describe the fact that nothing happened at the gun rally except a peaceful demonstration.
Mm. Absolutely.
Even right. though there was hundreds of automatic weapons
yes.
that you would never
carrying.
See on the streets.
There was AR-15s everywhere,
yep.
and not one of them jumped off a guy's shoulder and killed anybody. I couldn't believe it.
If guns kill people, then spoons make you fat and cars drive drunk.
And pencils write very, very bad things. So we'll be back in a minute with round three here on Chasing Justice at our special Round the Bar with the Boys episode.
Hello, this is Lieutenant Randy Sutton, the host of Blue Lives Radio, the voice of American law enforcement. I am a 34-year police veteran. I am also the founder and CEO of an organization that stands behind injured and disabled law enforcement officers. It is called The Wounded Blue. Our website is thewoundedblue.org. We have produced a film. It is an important film. I urge you to watch it. The film details what happens when a police officer or law enforcement officer is shot or stabbed or beaten or disabled, seriously injured in the line of duty. Most people think they are taken care of medically and financially. The reality may be quite different. It is called The Wounded Blue, Service, Sacrifice, Betrayed. The film is available on Amazon, iTunes, and the Microsoft Store.
Hey everybody, welcome back to Chasing Justice, our special edition here in America Out Loud, the boys around the bar. This is Lieutenant Joe, also with Rock and Roll Race Car Jack Patterson. Bill, the man of faith Dallas, who we found out in this episode, never lived in Dallas. And Jim, the contrarian Giordano. We find out he still doesn't want to be stopped by the police, boys and girls, so keep that in mind.
Jim and I will be selling Fourth Amendment t-shirts in the lobby after the show.
The Constitution. Yes. I love when I watch PD. You know, those cop shows. They run out and they're like, I'm protected by the Constitution. And I'm like, well, just relax.
Fourth Amendment says you can protect it in your rights, but don't be stupid at the same time. The police are allowed to arrest you.
Or
you
contrary.
You are allowed to say you don't agree with it in court, ladies and gentlemen. You don't do it on the street.
But that's a punishment in itself. Here's my problem. It's a punishment. You know, the judicial system is such a strain on society. So it's not like what it used to be. A charge was a charge. And now when they give you a charge, they don't just give you one charge. They give you 15 charges.
That's because you keep on arguing with them.
I don't argue, and I've never really gotten charged. Okay. I did object when I was stopped in the 70s and the 80s when we had those drunken driving
checkpoints.
Yeah. I'm like, well, wait a second. This doesn't sound right to me. You know, even though half the time I was drunk and I was like, but remember, it's the 70s.
We're seeing how many attacks on our law enforcement, because we're seeing so many people in society not have an opinion like yours, because I know your opinion is actually protecting of your rights. If you're in the wrong, you're going to submit, you're going to do what you're supposed to do. But what you don't like is the discretionary use of power that can be used inappropriately by anybody who's in a position of power. So I kind of understand that. I teach and train the cops, trying to tell them, hey, you have such an amount of power, you don't realize. It hit me when I was a young cop. And I was married, and I had a little family, and I go off to work in the morning. I was working a day shift, and I go out, and the sergeant gives you the briefing, and I'll go out, run radar, do this, do that, here's where their accidents are. And I go out there, and I'm running radar, and I see this what we call the Scotchabong, this car that was barely held together with glue and hope. And it goes riding by, and it's got every violation on it you could possibly see. Bald tires, the windshield's cracked, the inspection sticker's no good. This thing goes rolling on by. Well, you pull that guy over, man, because you have to write tickets, right? There's no quota, but you have a standard. But anyway, you have to write tickets as part of your job. So you pull this guy over, and next thing you know, you're sitting there like, your windshield's cracked. Here's a ticket. $75. Your brake lights are out. Here's this. $200. You got no registration. Boom, $75. Next thing you know, you've just given this guy $800-$900 worth of tickets. Now, the reality that I didn't realize until one day, it dawned on me, I had stopped this young guy. He was a little bit older than me. And I stopped him and I said, listen, man, you got your brake light out. This is the third day in a row you've gone past me. I'm only stopping you today for the third time. You got a cracked windshield. You got smoke coming out the pipe. Dude, you can't drive a car around like this. He goes, listen, it's insured and it's registered. So I appreciate that. But this is against every law we have here. You can't do it. He goes, listen, I am working myself to death. I'm doing odd jobs. I got two jobs. I'm trying to pay for my kids. If I had money, I would fix this stupid car, but I need this car to get to work. And that dawned on me, and I said, wait a minute. I am now going to lump this guy up with $800 worth of tickets when the only way he has to get to work is that car. Now, does he have a responsibility for his car to be in good working shape? We all do, yes. So I said to the guy, listen, I know you got to go to work. How about by next week, can you get at least the muffler fixed and can you get the windshield done? Can you do something? He says, you're going to give me a break? I said, yes. I said, dude, I had a grass company before I became a cop, not marijuana, lawn cutting. And my truck caught on fire. And you know what I did? It caught on fire. So I needed to go to work to feed my family. So you know what I did? I pulled over. I put the fire out. I took my melted sneakers, threw them in the back, and I kept on working. So I understood what this man was going through. But then I realized, wait a minute. I was amped up because I was taught you stop cars, you write tickets, that's your job. There's more to it than that. There's justice to it. And I said to the guy, can you do it in a week? He goes, in a week, I'll have the muffler done and I'll do the other thing. And you know what? A week later, he came by and that car was silent. No smoke coming out the back. And he had a new windshield. Do I think that he was going to fix all them other things? Yes, I think he would. Because he got a break. He had an opportunity. And he realized, I really got to do this. So that was an important moment for me. And now when I teach cops, I try and teach them, listen, this perspective is so important. If that guy had a $75 warrant, I could have pulled him out of his car, basically snatched him out of his life, handcuffed him, put him in a jail cell like an animal for a $75 warrant because this guy didn't happen to have $75. And I said, wait a minute, wait, this isn't right. This is powerful stuff I'm seeing here. We have such power, we have to learn to wield it properly. And that's where I know where Jim is coming from. You know, there's enough real bad criminals out there that I could lock up drug dealers, rapists, people with guns and all kinds of bad stuff. But I had a perspective as this young person that the power we give to certain parts of our authority people, you know, law enforcement, people who come around and inspect your house and, you know, they keep failing you because they have a personality problem. These things all have to be drawn in. We got to remember, we serve the public and there's a purpose. I wasn't out there as Joe Pangaro. I was a law enforcement officer put there by that very man who I stopped in that car because he wants law enforcement out there. Well, I have to do my job. But that doesn't mean we couldn't work it out. I couldn't use a little perspective. And that helped me. And it helped a lot of guys and girls. Which leads me to what I wanted to talk about for a minute. You guys have all heard about this bail reform. Right? Mm-hmm. Bail reform. Because if you got arrested for something, you got arrested for whatever the charge was. If you don't post bail, you go to county jail until you can post bail or until you till your trial comes up. The reason that bail has been instituted is because lots and lots of people will be charged with a serious crime and then they won't show up to court. So you'll never be able to hold them to account. And that's what we, the people, have demanded of law enforcement. Make us all hold us responsible for doing what we're supposed to do. But bail reform, I think, has gone too far. Because what they've said is so many people don't have money to post bail that we're holding people in jail that most of us would not be held in jail for. Could you come up with $1,000, Jim, tonight if you had to?
Yes.
You could come up with $1,000, right? Bill?
I could.
Jack?
Yeah.
We all could. You know how many thousands of people in our country could not come up with $1,000 cash, could not come up with a bail bondsman of $100. So they should go to jail over something. For nonviolent things, I think I can see that. I think for nonviolent, you can give somebody a desk appearance ticket. For violent things, that's a whole nother story. That's a whole nother, somebody does something violent. There's story after story after story in New York, where we're from, New Jersey, New York area, where people have been let out on no bail in the past couple of months that have committed horrible crimes. And then they go and do it again. And one guy robbed five banks. And the judge just kept letting him out. Well, in Long Island, there was a judge, this guy did some violent thing that was on the list of no bail. And the judge says, I don't care what the law says, I'm putting bail on you. And the attorney general of the state of New York came down and said, nope, let that man out, and admonished the judge. Now, this is a violent guy who could hurt us. So this whole idea of bail reform, I think we have to address it. But at the same time, we have to be reasonable about what we're doing.
What's the lesson? The lesson to be learned is, even though we all love the concept of bail reform because of just what you said, the way it was implemented, especially in New York, was a farce. We all understand that, you know, the situations with a guy who can't afford the car, you know, he's trying to get to work to feed his family, you know, that's not that bad of a crime. But what happens is all of a sudden, now you get bank robbers, you get people who beat up people, violent people, who also get out.
There's a manslaughter charge they let people out for in New York.
Exactly. The balance is wrong, and the way governments institute it, especially, and it sounds terrible, liberal, democratic governments like you have in San Francisco and in New York and in Chicago, it all leads to disaster.
Right. And I think if you look at, again, the crime statistics, right, I'm not saying any particular group of people, but you got to look at the crime statistics. And they're saying, well, too many Italians, because I'm Italian, by the way, so I can say this. Calm down, everyone out there. Too many Italians get arrested on organized crime charges. Okay, well, let's look up the statistics on organized crime, the Italian mafia. And guess what? Lots of them are Italians. Can you imagine that? That's not saying that there's hating on Italians. This is looking at the reality. And to my brother and sister Goombas out there, I'm not talking about everybody's involved with organized crime. You know what I'm talking about? Pangaro, you know, my whole life. Are you involved? You all got your uncle? You got some... No, that's not true. Not all my uncles were involved. I'm only kidding. But the point is that people look at different things and they try and find reasons other than reality. They want to say that people get arrested because we just don't like this group and we don't like that. Like, we have a meeting before the briefing in the morning. Here's the cars to watch out for. Here's the people to watch. And who are we going to pick on today? Hey, let's go pick on those race car guys. Let's go lock up some of them guys, right? Yeah, let's do that. Like that happens. That's not what happens.
So do you think that this is profiling, racial profiling? Do you think that is necessary In some instances?
No, racial profiling is always bad. Racial profiling is always bad. There is no one race of people that do one thing. What you look at is behavior profiling. What is the behaviors of someone who's dealing marijuana? What's the behavior of someone who's doing white-collar crime? What's the behavior of someone who does bank robberies? And then you look for those things.
Do you really care about marijuana? This is my problem. Do you really care about marijuana? Yes, I think it's a bad drug, but nobody cares. It doesn't affect me. It doesn't affect your neighbor. You want something? You want to do it? All the power to you. The problem I see is too many people are in jail because of this stupid drug. The detriment to society because of people going to jail, ruining their lives for this drug, which is a bad thing, is much greater than putting them in jail for the benefits of trying to regulate the drug.
And everybody who gets arrested has a right to a speedy trial. Now, Joe, explain to me who decides what's speedy. If you get arrested for a crime, you're supposed to be presumed innocent until proven guilty.
Correct.
Now, if you're held for a crime and the judicial system is backed up in that particular town or county that you're in, how long do they consider a speedy trial? How long must you sit in jail for, like Jimmy's saying, a marijuana charge as opposed to a murder charge? Right. How long do you have to sit in the county jail, subsequently losing your job, perhaps losing your home, maybe even losing your family?
Right. Well, normally what'll happen for things, you got to understand, across the country we have things called indictable crimes, non-indictable crimes, and then there's felonies, and they're just different words for it. A crime that puts you not in county jail, but a crime that puts you in a state prison is something that has a sentence of more than 364 days.
Give us an example with that.
So that would be an attempted murder. That would be an indictable crime or a felony. If you are found guilty of that, you're going to go to jail for more than 364 days. If you're found guilty of simple assault, because I popped you in the face and hurt your face, I might only get sentenced to 18 months. I'll do that time in the county jail. That's a non-indictable charge.
But how long do they sit in jail?
Well, if they don't have bail that night, if they get bail put on them, the judge looks at a lot of things. He'll look at, okay, Jack, you punched Jim in the face here on Chasing Justice. You broke his nose, okay? Is that a serious bodily injury? All right, if it's serious bodily injury, it can be considered an aggravated assault, which is then a felony or indictable. Now, for somebody that commits that serious of a crime, you might flee and take off because you could go to jail for 3 to 5 years for that. So the chances of you taking off, let's look. Do you have a job, Jack?
You're a flight risk.
You're a flight. Yeah. Well, you only had a job for 6 months. You've had a job 3 months before that. You lived in Toms River. You moved to upstate New York. The chances of you taking off are pretty good. Therefore, you're going to post $10,000 bail so that if you take off, we get the money. You have an interest now in showing up to court. That's the purpose of
it. But you're up in the 70s. How many times did you commit a felony then? Because how many times did we have a fight for someone cutting a line?
No, a simple fighting each other is not a felony. That's simple, just engaging assault in a fight. That's a disorderly person charge. That's heard in municipal court. If a cop sees you fighting with each other, he can arrest you for disorderly conduct. You go to the judge, the local judge in your town, and he'll say, well, you're causing a disturbance in the, you know, we see these all the time. In a hamburger store, we see 28 people fighting each other, and we see that the hot dog place, they're throwing the hot dogs around. That's disorderly conduct. Maybe they're destroying some merchandise, less than $2,000. That's going to be heard in your municipal court. Now I look at that and go, Jim, you went in, you punched Jack in the face because you didn't like that the way he gave you his hot dog, and then you destroyed $300 worth of hot dogs, but you have no criminal record, you have a job, you're an upstanding person, I'm going to fine you $3,000 to punish you for what you did. Now, turn it around and Jack does it. Jack's been in 32 fights, he's done time in the county jail, he doesn't have a job, he's always getting arrested for stuff. Jack is not learning his lesson. Jack, you're going to go to jail for 364 days in the county jail. And you're going to sit there and hopefully when you come out, you learn your lesson. System.
Because no, I don't think it happens.
Jim, I'm not saying I have faith that that's what happens. This is how it works. And that's what people need
to
understand.
It's supposed to work.
This is how it's supposed to work. What we need to do is look at these things again. Well, you said marijuana, and we only have a minute or two left here. Marijuana is becoming mainstream across the United States. I heard the funniest thing the other day from Chris Rock, the comedian. He came out and he said, because Chicago, Illinois, just made recreational marijuana legal. And he goes, let's look at all the people sitting in jail for marijuana. Those people that were selling marijuana because they were poor, they were broke, and they needed money. Now, the state of Illinois just legalized, recognized marijuana, recreational marijuana, because the state is poor. The state is broke and out of money, so they're going to sell drugs. Mm-hmm. And his point makes it crystal clear. When the state needed money, hey, you know what? Let's stop arresting them for something like that and let's tax it. But if you did it 2 weeks before, you go to jail because you're a poor guy, you got no job, but I can sell bags of weed, I can make money. The thing that my wife Kathleen brought up one time, because we were having this argument, a joint, a little bag of marijuana you smoke in your backyard, you get arrested for that. It can cause a kid a big problem. You have to put on your record for the rest of your life. You had a drug arrest. But she said to me, it's not the kid with the bag of weed. She goes, you're a cop. What about the guy who brought 10 pounds across the border, driving through New Jersey, and you stop his car, and he gets out and shoots you with a rifle and kills you because he doesn't want to get arrested with the bales of marijuana? That's why we go after those people with marijuana. It's not the guy with the bag of weed or the joint. It's the trafficker who will kill somebody for that drug.
And I know Bill's chomping at the bit, but unfortunately, it seems as though they're going after society, the guy with the friggin' joint.
It's low-hanging fruit.
Who cares?
It costs you $3,000 you get caught with a joint. $3,000. As opposed to going, you got caught with a joint, here's $200 fine, don't smoke in public again. And now they're making it legal everywhere, and what they're going to do is, what you already see it happening here in New Jersey, when it becomes legal, they're going to expunge everybody's record that had a marijuana arrest, which is the right thing to do. Bill, would you like to end this conversation, or you want to put that joint down and tell us what you think?
Just say it. I feel much better about this now.
Okay. Hey, ladies and gentlemen, I want to thank you all for being here. I want to thank the boys for being here. This was a great experience. Remember, when you're out there in the world, talk about these things with your friends. We sit around the bar, we sit around the fire, we talk these things out so we understand what we think about it, what we believe about it, brings all these things out. And always listen to Chasing Justice here on America Out Loud and be a part of the solution, not a part of the problem.